Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here. I want to thank Rex Veder for the use of his home for my wife and myself while we're here. Sorry about the towels and the condition of the shower. You can retrieve your car Sunday morning when we're gone. And I'd like to thank Lois and Dick Shelton and all of the people connected with the Poetry Center for the, well, for simply doing the impossible of bringing in 8 of us at one time and finding housing, transportation, and more or less allowing for the idiosyncrasies of everybody in the group. The popular song says nobody does it better. After traveling for 10 days with 8 more or less living poets, it does seem appropriate to read a long poem about cannibalism. But I would like to read just 2 or 3 poems from Song in a Strange Land first, because several people asked to hear these. I had some other requests, but I'm going on with the reading anyway. I live in a town called Chico, which is in the Sacramento Valley, about 100 miles north of Sacramento and maybe 125 miles south of the Oregon border. We're on the valley floor, right about sea level, and the Pacific Coast Range is to the left, to the west, and the Sierras to the east. Starting up into the Sierras, you come to a town called Oroville, which used to be an old lumbering town and a railroad town. The railroad has closed. The lumber industry is in bad shape there. This poem is set in Oroville in the present time, about 4 years ago. It's called A Bird is Whistling in the Trees. A bird is whistling in the trees across the creek. On the bank, a young Maidu man and woman, awake since dawn, fuss with their fire, snapping spry twigs to feed the flame. A rope of smoke floats through the thin mountain air. After coffee, she offers to cook nothing else, and they give it up, pack up 2 bedrolls, and soak their coals with water cupped from the creek. She watches the sun light tall pines like torches beginning to blaze. Among the trees, 1 brown bat sails home in the haze of daybreak. "Find us a house in town," she says. "I won't have my baby in these woods. He won't be born in the dirt like me." How can he argue against her shame? Yet her anger never alters her voice. She speaks still in that same urgent tone. "Someplace dry and warm, with 1 big bed and our own stove." In silence, they start like strangers down a steep grade of poor growth, past a stand of scrag timber, the best trees cut for lumber, much of the rest blown over to rot under rain or snow. No place his family ought to live the whole year, although he'll admit it to himself, he won't say so. Nowhere to go but hike on into town looking for work. A lumber plant open outside Oroville, tarpaulin tied over a few wood piles, 2 trucks hauling heavy timber through the gate. In a gully below the road, the raw air of autumn greets the grass. When they rest here, her dress stretches taut on her swelling belly, too high to cover the tan curve of her thigh. His hand caresses her breast, which has become a mound of muscle. All her nerves are alert. She rises to comb her hair like a long veil, letting it fall about her blouse. They turn once more toward town. Before they reach the streets, she hears him humming, "Better days are coming for you and for me." Then she takes up the tune, but both are out of breath. They have to laugh while a breeze blows over the troubled gully, over the gulf of their life.